The Shire of Nanup would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung people of the Noongar Nation as the traditional custodians of the land of which this podcast is recorded on, and we extend our respect to the elders past and present, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal Australians living within the Shire of Nanup.
He said it was worthwhile, everything I did just for that one encounter, because it made a huge difference to him, that belonging. And then he said, well, now I'll come back to Nanup, because Nanup, he didn't even know Nanup was part of his life, but that was, his father enlisted from here.
This is the Nanup Oral History Podcast. This afternoon we are in the RSL Hall, surrounded by the names of those who served in war and have Nanup links. Vicky is a very busy lady, wearing many different hats. She's been a Justice of the Peace for 27 years and has supported the Nanup community over the past 20 years in this capacity. In this episode, Vicky discusses the restoration of Community House. She details her connection to a life of service and her involvement in the Nanup RSL, along with the importance of remembering those who have served in the war. She calls herself a custodian of time, holding the hearts of those who have fought for their country. I love that she says, you don't arrive in Nanup, Nanup is a journey. And it really does sum up so many of the other stories we've heard on this podcast so far. So Vicky, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. I would love it if you introduced yourself and just told us a little bit about you.
Right. I am Vicky Hansen. I've been in Nanup for 23 years. I wear numerous hats in town, lots and lots, involved in lots of community groups. I am the Deputy Shire President. I sit on numerous committees there, audit the local drug alcohol group I chair. I sit on the Warrants Alliance of Councils. I am Deputy Chair of the Climate Action Group for the South West. Then we go to sustainability.
Australia Day, I know that's another one.
Australia Day Committee. I'm President of the Friends of Community House Group. I am Secretary of the RSL. And Nanup, I am a warden for the War Memorial. I am Honorary Auditor for 8 not-for-profit groups in the South West. And I will tell you the others when I remember them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound like a very busy lady. What is it about all this community involvement that you love?
I was born to serve. I served in the army, served in schools. I've served in everything. I've always been involved in community groups wherever I've been. And when I've come to Nanup, one of the first roles I took on in Nanup as a newbie was I was coordinator of the Flower and Garden Festival, and I was the Queen of Hearts because we had the Alice in Wonderland theme, all of that. That was great fun. That was one of my first forays in, and then I started doing the honorary auditing for the groups because that was a need. Whenever there's been a need, that's where I come in. And my army service, so the RSL, and all the other things have just come on.
It's amazing. I think we should maybe talk about Friends of Community House first. So can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
So the community house sits just over the bridge on the way in from Busselton. It was the old policeman's house built around the 1920s with the police station next door. The Friends of it was used as just as a council. The council took over from the police, I think back in the 1950s or something, and it was just another council building. It was used mainly by the ladies groups. So you had the CWA and the Anglican Church ladies ran the op shop out of there for many years. It was starting to get into disrepair. Nobody really wanted it. It was a little bit unloved. A group of ladies from all those groups came together, decided to put in for a grant and to do it themselves. And It has been totally restored and rebuilt, and I think we've put close to about $60,000 to $70,000 worth in there, plus labour, and have brought it back to where it was, which is a beautiful old building, and now it is used for the CWA, mosaics, the craft ladies, the seniors bingo, and all sorts of other activities and workshops, high teas, you know, those types of things. But I could probably say it is a female space.
How special. I guess you've got the men's shed as a male space and community house as a female space, would you say?
Yes, I would say that, but it's allowed those old crafts to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So we through the CWA, you have the cake baking, the bottling, the preserving, you have the craft group, you have all those old crafts, and they are being maintained and those things are being passed on because they have a place to go and a place that's their own.
So what are the old crafts that get done in there?
Well, you have your knitting, your crocheting, your embroidery. Look, it's all completely foreign to me. I am a gifted organiser. I am magnificent at organising things. These hands can do nothing but garden. I cannot sew a stitch. I cannot knit. I cannot bake. So I'm the perfect person to make sure that all those skills are maintained and that those people who have got those skills can pass them on.
Incredible. Well, the garden at Community House is beautiful as well. I guess you've been involved in that as well, if you like to garden.
Yes. Well, the gardens, again, are maintained as the old-fashioned gardens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, to maintain our history and to keep it alive.
Beautiful. And it opened 14th February 1923. So what did you do for the centenary?
Well, we had the centenary ball, which was old-style dancing, which was things that you would have no idea about, but things like the Pride of Erin, ones where you had barn dance, ones where you dance around as in partners around the group and you swap as you go around and... We had people that could show us how to do that. They had an old-fashioned band came in. Everybody dressed in character, in period dress. And of course, we had the bring along a plate for your supper. Ladies were free. Men had to pay $20, just like it would have been in the old days.
How gorgeous. When you say people were dressing up, was it from a particular era?
Well, from the 1920s. So you had a combination of people in the formal big dresses and then the flappers, because that was that period of the roaring 20s. And all the gentlemen did. And then I can also tell you that most of the clothing and the material to make the clothes was obtained by the op shop in town, you know, from them.
Yeah, the op shop's now moved, hasn't it?
Well, the op shop is now located in the old Uniting Church. And that is operated by Community House. So Community House is the umbrella group for all of those. Plus we do the governance and hold the lease for the op shop. And I manage all governance issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a couple more hats we've thrown on you now.
Yeah,
really
sorry.
Piling up now.
Sorry.
No, it's great. I want a big snapshot. So I guess now we'll talk about the RSL. So you are the secretary of the RSL and you have been for a number of years?
Not very long, only about 8 years.
Is there anything you want to talk about before we talk about RSL actually? Is there anything you would like to talk about from your army days that really made you interested in being involved in the RSL when you moved to Nanup?
I come from a long line of service people, right? So my grandfather was a rat of Tobruk,
yeah.
World War II, prisoner of war, and I'm the eldest grandchild, used to tell me all the stories from there. My mother and my aunt, her sister, were both in the Women's Army Nursing Corps. Her younger brother, my uncle, is 10 years older than me. He was in Vietnam, was injured there and has since died from the complications from the Agent Orange. My cousin, my little cousin, who is 2 years younger than me, died in service with the Army, age 20. My husband in National Service, Vietnam. His father was in World War I at the Battle of Bullecourt and was a prisoner of war of the Germans and has an amazing story because he actually escaped from German prison camp, took two of the Australians with him, walked through revolutionary Russia and made it to Sweden before the war finished.
My goodness.
And we go on and then have an uncle who was an Air Force pilot who was shot down on D-Day, on Normandy, dropping special paratroopers behind enemy lines. Oh, and then my father's brother was Davy, lifetime. So you see, it just goes on. And with me, it was, I joined for the adventure and mainly also because I'd come out of a boarding school, all-girls boarding school, had a bit of a little rebellious spirit, wanted to do something, was told when I tried to enlist that I couldn't because there was a waiting list and they didn't want females. Then they found out that in those days if you had matriculated and you'd gone through to, you started uni, you could get in. So they said, I could be an officer. So, all right, well, I'll go off and be an officer. And then I went through officer training. I think we started off with over 40 of us, only 6 women. At graduation point, we had 18 males and 2 females graduate. I was one of them.
Wow.
And then, because that was a change of period, a change of times, because we're in the change of the way the world looks at things, I was actually given a field force posting, which women weren't before that, and I was in signals, and I was a troop commander in signal corps.
Wow.
And did lots of wonderful, exciting things, which we cannot tell you about. Anyway, from there, I came out of there and then I came up. There was a job running and it was advertised in the old days. Schools had a wonderful thing called bursars, private schools did. And the ad said, you must have had military service and accounting background. And I had both. And then when I applied, they said, but you're a girl. And that was a big surprise. And I actually got that job.
Wow.
And the magic age of 32 or something, which was very young at the time to get such a position. And then from then on, I worked in education in big private schools. And then so when I eventually came down here, I then had the time, would you say? Or I had the... I've always divided myself, whatever I'm doing, you do to best of your ability as fully as you can. Even though I was associated with the RACS, which is the Women's Royal Australian Army Corps Association, and I was held lots of positions when I was in Perth then, but did not belong to an RSL because it was a very male-orientated group. Come down here, and, of course, NANUP is welcoming and of all people, of all types, of all things. So, of course, the RSL came down here, when I came down here, and I looked at it and looked at it, kept looking from the outside, told my husband, going, yeah, we'll join up and see. And, of course, they just took us straight in. As equals, as more than equals, to the point that all of our members here call me ma'am. Right, so if you hear it in the street, they're not being rude or anything. It's yes, ma'am, which I take with a great deal of affection.
Amazing. So you have been involved in the NANUP RSL since you arrived?
No, as I said, because when I, again, you don't arrive in NANUP.
Mm.
NANUP is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought the property. We had a property about Lawley. We kept the both running parallel.
Mm-hmm.
I came down for over 8 years. I drove down every weekend, came down on a Friday night, back on a Sunday. My husband was down here mainly because first week we started building the property, he had a major accident, smashed his legs, and he couldn't walk for 12 months. And so he stayed here. And he lived here, and then I came down and saw him every weekend. So working up there, and I was doing community organisations up there as well, right, different types of ones, come down here. So it's only once we got down here and got settled, and then what happened, I retired. And then that lasted 2 years. And then I took up a new career and went to Manjimup up to the high school there and worked for the government instead of private schools. Totally different thing. And amongst everything else, I ran the farm school. And I learned about farms. And that was exciting because I'd never done that before. When all of that finished, that took another 10 years for me to finish that little phrase. Then I came back here and I was always living here, but then I had free time because most of my life has been spent on the road.
Mm.
I spend an awful lot of time driving.
Yes, a lot of us Nanupians do, don't we?
So as you know, if you come in and out of town, that driving to and from Manjimup every day is danger.
Mm.
You have to have your wits about you. So there's not a lot of time in between, and when you get home you're totally exhausted and you're just doing what you can.
Yes, I do understand that. Going back to the RSL, can you tell us some of the things that you organise and some of the big events that happen here in NANUP?
We do Anzac Day. We do Anzac Day really well. And Anzac Day is my little baby, which is good because our guys here, all my service members, and we all up, we've got a membership sitting about 38 at the moment. Over the last couple of years, we've lost a few. When I say lost them, it's because they pass on, and that's the nature of our age and everything, because all our Vietnam veterans now, which are in the 70 to 80 range. So with that, so we've got about 40 members, but I'm down to about 20 service members. The other is affiliates, an affiliate member, for any of you who want to join, you have to have had a member of your family who has served. And that's because that's why that's part of the RSL rule. And that means you're joining for a reason. You're vested in it. So we run the Anzac Day here. We have a really big turn up every year. Quite remarkable how many people do come. We have a lot of people come in from other towns. And that's because we uniquely have a war memorial where you can gather around, not sit in chairs in rows. Be far from it. It's a gathering. It's a beautiful space. When I'm saying about my members, on top of that, there is at least another 25 plus veterans out there that only come in for Anzac Day and Remembrance Day. A lot of veterans have issues, and a lot of them, especially the Vietnam ones, have issues with the RSL because back in history, when they came back from Vietnam, the RSLs wouldn't let them join because it wasn't a gentleman's war. And they were run in those days by World War I and World War II veterans, and they never quite got over that. We're now trying to get... We're working on that next group to try to support the Afghanistan veterans and the Gulf War ones to say, you are included, you're welcome. There's no such thing as a beautiful war. All of it's bad, and whoever they are, they need to be surrounded by people who understand their story and don't need them to tell the story. So that's what we do. So we put on the Anzac Day. We also put on Remembrance Day and Vietnam Veterans Day. And linked with Vietnam Veterans Day, of course, is our own Marinko Thomas from Marinko Park. And, of course, he was the first Western Australian National Serviceman to be killed in action. So he has his statue here. We have a service there. And we also have a service on certain anniversaries. Like last year we did on the anniversary of his death, big anniversary at his gravesite, which is up there. And on top of what else do? We keep alive the history. So around here in this room here, over here is the original charter. So that was granted to the RSL on the 11th of November 1918. We were one of the very first RSLs. A lot of them had, after that, had their centenaries floated past because they came into effect. But if you look at the boards around here, considering the size of Nanup, they had a very large number sign up and go in both World War One and Two. Nanup was, in those days, you'll find out, I don't know that history, you'll find it from other people, but it wasn't a mill town, it was a collection of mills. And each of those little mill towns had its own little school and its own people. So they all signed up. It was a very large group that went away. So that's the original charter. And then 100 years later, we were given a certificate there of remembrance to recognise 100 years. And at that point, we had the then RSL president come here to present it to us personally. And him and his wife stayed at our house. And it was a very lovely occasion. We had a big dinner here, a big formal military dinner.
Wow.
But if you go around all these things around here, as I said, there's lots of very interesting things dating back to, because all these boards, these honour boards were done at point of time after each of those wars. So those names that sit on here, you'll see the names repeat. So you'll have people, fathers who were in the First World War with sons in the Second World War.
Mm.
We have in the First World War, if you've been to our Anzac Day this year, I tried to get different guest speakers around it, and this year was done by Ross Croft.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke about the four Blythe brothers. That's in World War One. There was four brothers from Nanup went off to war, different ages as they went through. Two died in action in return. One lost a leg and returned. And the other one there. Now we've still got Blythes in town from that family. But that's quite a story in itself that you had four brothers that went.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them, of course, are on the Avenue of Honour.
Can you tell us about the Avenue of Honour?
So the Avenue of Honour was a project before my time, but I was here, but I wasn't in the RSL at the time. They got a grant. There's Veterans Affairs have these grants called Salute in Their Service. That's how I did most things done. So the Avenue of Honour runs down the street next to Higgins Park, runs back down through there. There's a row, and on each of them is a plaque. The plaque holds the name and the date of death and the service number of each of those who was killed in action and did not return. And one of the criteria for being there was that you either had to have been born in Nanup, put Nanup at your place of residence when you enlisted. And so there are people who have said they should be on there, but if they didn't fill that criteria, they weren't. Because you can be on lots of memorials, and we don't do that. This is their one place. 11 served and died in World War One. 8 lost their lives in France and 3 in Gallipoli. 7 died in World War Two, 1 on the Thai-Burma Railway, 3 in Papua New Guinea, 1 in North Africa, 1 in Singapore, and 2 airmen served with Bomber Command and died when they shot down over Europe. And then we have Mariko, who was killed in Vietnam. So each of them is recognised there, so you can walk down the avenue. During winter, of course, the ornamental pears lose their leaves and they sit there, and it's very poignant to see just the skeleton of the trees. But around Anzac Day and again in November when they're up, they've got red leaves. Now, I've gone and had each of their stories written up, so every one of them has got their stories. And we're hoping that, you know, if people want to, they can come. Eventually we'll get to the point where we'll QR them and they can do it. On top of all of this, in 2017, my husband was invited to Bullecourt in France. And we went and took my daughter and my grandson. And we went for the 100th anniversary of the Battle of Bullecourt, invited by the French government, because
As you can understand, there's a very few people who actually can say that they had their father or their grandfather in World War One. It's normally World War Two. It's got to do with the fact that he returned. But whilst we were over there, every one of these World War One people who had fallen, we visited their grave sites or the memorials in France and Belgium. Everyone except for the Gallipoli. And the ladies made us some knitted poppies. My husband double-sided taped them and we put them on the memorials everywhere we went. To such a point, at one point, someone came up and said, have you seen the poppies? There's some Australian lady that's going around and sticking them everywhere on things and we don't know what the story is.
So did you share it with them?
Yes, and then from that point, I've maintained really, really good friends with this French people who maintain the memorials in France on behalf, you know, for the Australian people from them, and which is Philippe Clerbeau, a beautiful person who actually spends his whole life just looking after the Australian things. But from that, we learnt those friendships were forged across the time. The French, after all this time, remember, we're going back to World War One, 14 to, 14, 15, 17, up to through there. And they still will say to you, thank you for sending your boys to us when no one else did. Now, that's people still remembering generationally.
Mm.
So this is a generational thing. And, of course, if you've got a Villa Spretta, there is a school there. And that school, after because everything was destroyed during the war, was built by the money of Australian school children. They each, in those days, collected pennies, halfpence, put it all together and it built a school.
Mm.
And that school still sits there and still runs. So, sorry, that's beautiful stories.
Oh, but beautiful.
All of this intertwines because we went there for that. Whilst we were there, we visited every one of these guys. But they're buried overseas in foreign land and they haven't come back, but we made sure. But it was great for us because it was a focal point of a journey. And my grandson was 14 at the time. What he got from that was amazing. He said, if history was like this in school, we would study it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Real stories and real people.
Really helps us share history and understand it.
On the Avenue of Honour, we've just, and I can tell you today, breaking news, the Department of Veterans Affairs has just given me the grant money because it's in the bank account. We're going to be replacing all of those plinths because it was a lovely, lovely idea at the time to build them out of Nanup Jarra.
Mm.
But the whiteheads and critters have just eaten them. So now they're being replaced with this grant we're bound to get, steel plinths. And so they'll live well past us now forever.
Do you want to talk about the Heritage Festival?
The Heritage Festival. Bridgetown held it last year and then it was decided through the Alliance that they would spread it and offer it out through the other towns to create a journey so people could go, because there's lots of trails, you know, your bike trails and things, but horse trails, all these things, but not heritage trails, that people would like to go on that journey. So we opened it up to Nanup. Well, of course, we'd never done it before. Totally uncharted. No idea what we were doing. But because of that, I did up the story on every one of these of our Avenue of Honour people. I've done up all the books and the stories and the map, and that will all be on the, hopefully, on our Experience Nanup app.
Fantastic.
And so that people will be able to go there and so that's on there and you can click on each of the names and get their story.
Fantastic.
The reason behind that is you see a name and you follow your family and people are more and more interested in finding out where they came from or stories from before them. And it's very easy to lose track if you never had those grandfathers sitting around telling you their stories that you don't have it. Which leads us up to when we had the Heritage Festival here. On the Sunday, sitting out in the front there, a gentleman come in, he's just standing out there. And so I just went out and talked to him. So he says, now,
can I come in? I'm just looking for somebody. It's virtually like that. I'm looking for somebody. So came in and he said, you know, this is the names I'm looking for. And I said, okay, we'll go. No, World War One or World War Two or World War Two. So over we went and found the name and then the other one. He says, well, that's my father and that's my uncle. I said, over and over here, that's your grandfather because I'm World War One. And then he said, told the story. He said it was adopted, and it had only by the time he traced to find his biological father, he'd passed on, and so he never got to meet him. But he did get to meet the uncle, and the uncle had said, "Well, he used to live in Nanup, and he was in the war, and he said to go have a look." And then he was searching because they had lived on a farm out of here, but he enlisted from here. But for him to tangibly be able to see that not only did his father exist, his father was important enough to be on our walls here. Then I said, right, now you can go down to the war memorial and he'll be on there. And he's there. And that is that it was worthwhile, everything I did just for that one encounter. Because it made a huge difference to him, that belonging. And then he said, well, now I'll come back to Nanup, because Nanup, he didn't even know Nanup was part of his life, but that was his father enlisted from here. So it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely beautiful. What a gift. Thank you so much for sharing that story. I guess this has happened to you a bit over time, that you've been able to help people find names and people and belonging, as you say.
Yes, even if someone's never came back, the Avenue of Honour, we have people from over the other side of Australia who write to you to say, someone took a photo of it. It's so lovely. Thank you for looking. They're not resting there, but remember, they have no place to rest because they're resting in foreign soil. The fact that we as a community honour them, cherish the name, and they live on. And the only way you live on is by people saying your name. And if you read the name, you raise that out loud, then you hear it. And as I go, you also remember their names and you'll remember the story and then you'll remember that name.
Beautiful. I would really love to hear what the Nanup RSL, this place, means to you.
As a person within it, a custodian in time, with people before and hopefully people come later. But it holds, in here it holds the spirit and it holds the stories and it holds the heart of all those who have fought for their country, whether it's in vogue or in fashion or anything else, makes no difference. They went through a lot of hardship. They were separated from their loved ones. When they came back, it was hard for people to understand what they'd seen and what they'd done. The RSL Hall is a permanent place where people can gather and keep alive that memory, where they can feel safe. It's a safe place. It's safe, it's secure, it's here. And hopefully it'll be here for forever, one would hope. That's all you can do is a custodian in time. Just hope that someone will come along behind you with the same connection. And I don't know, my connection comes from a lifetime of a family of service, of losing friends, of losing family. But as I said, you're only forgotten if no one ever says your name. And as long as someone walks around here, sees the names on the wall and says them, as I said, on Anzac Day, when all the community come in and they bring their kids and their grandkids for generations to come and go show them their relatives on the wall, and they take great pride in it, and the little kids take pride, and then those little kids become big kids. And that's what the RSL is about, and that's what we're here for.
Amazing. On that note, thank you so much, Vicky, for coming to talk to us. It's been a real honour to hear the stories and hear what you do through the RSL. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Nanup Oral History Podcast. If you are not a Nanupian, please come and visit our small town. We would love you to come. If you are a Nanupian, please share it with your family and friends. We're really proud of this, and we hope you are too.
This podcast was made possible through the successful funding by the Department of Community's Age Friendly Community Program, facilitated through the local government's professionals and supported by the Shire of Nanup. We would like to thank all of those who have shared their stories to make this podcast happen. The podcast has been produced by the Shire of Nanup's Economic and Community Development Team and edited by Simple Ben Stories.